All right, welcome back to the show. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. And joining us now on the line is legendary golf course architect Pete Dye, who tomorrow will be enshrined in the World Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremony in St. Augustine. Pete, good morning to you.
Morning, morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to talk to you people.
Well, tell me about the induction tomorrow. World Golf Hall of Fame, the ceremony tomorrow in St. Augustine. You are just the fifth golf course architect to be enshrined. You're going to join Donald Ross, Alistair McKenzie, Robert Trent Jones, and C.B. McDonald. Are you excited?
Oh, excited. I tell you what happened. I just couldn't believe it when they told me. I said, well, they reached down to the bottom of the barrel and pulled out a dirt digger. So here I am. I'm thrilled to death to go in.
Pete, some of the names that Russ just mentioned there, were you influenced by any of those guys, Donald Ross or any of those, or is really your style more something that just is uniquely to you?
Well, no. The first major golf course I ever built, I copied everything that Mr. Jones has ever done. I copied all of his work for the first major golf course I built was for the University of Michigan called Radrick Farm. So I had a lot of influence on that golf course from Mr. Jones, and then of course the other golf courses I've ran into was, well, kind of from McDonald, but Seth Rayner, which was his associate, I've copied a lot of his things, and then there's nothing new in the game of golf. You got to be copying somebody, you know.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Pete, you mentioned just prior to us coming on the air that you know, now that it's 20, 30 years later with a lot of your golf courses, you have to go back and retweak them because they're falling apart. Is that sort of the lifespan of a lot of golf courses, 20, 30 years before, you know, you have to go back in there and figure out what you need to do to get them kind of up to today's standards?
Well, yes. You know, I like the Tournament Players Club in Jacksonville. We've been back three or four times. But what's changed dramatically in the game of golf is not only the irrigation and things that you think of, but actually the way they cut the golf courses, they maintain the golf courses, the way they're maintained are so entirely different in the last, they just keep changing, but in the last 10 or 12 years has made major, major changes where the greens that you used to, when Donald Ross and the people built back then, they'd cut the greens at a quarter of an inch, and the stem reading would probably be 5 or 6 or something like that. And now they went to 8, and then they went to 9 and 10, and now they're talking about green speeds of up to 12 and 13. So you have to go back to some of the old golf courses that you built when the speed was, say, 7 or 8, and then just keep modifying them to be compatible with the new speeds that they have on these greens. Otherwise, these golf pros will kill you.
You're listening to Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, and we're joined on the line by legendary golf course architect Pete Dye. He's designed well over 150 courses around the world, including Oak Tree and Harbortown and Crooked Stick, Kiowa Ocean Course, TPC Sawgrass, Black Wolf Run, Whistling Straits. The list goes on and on. And, of course, tomorrow he will be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame up in St. Augustine, Florida. Pete, you were talking about the speeds of the greens and reading this new book that's out, and it's a phenomenal book. The Pete Dye Golf Courses, 50 Years of Design. A lot of stuff from the book I want to get into, but I read in the article about Dye Preserve right here in South Florida that you used St. Augustine grass on that course. How do you decide which type of grasses you use on certain courses?
Well, you know, when I was down in Delray Beach years and years ago, the old Gulfstream golf course here was all St. Augustine grass. The fairways were St. Augustine grass. Everything, tees, everything was St. Augustine grass. And then, of course, came along in Bermuda. But right now, to revert back to a few years ago, the roughs, you get such a contrast between the Bermuda and the St. Augustine grass, and the St. Augustine grass is less expensive to maintain. So where every golf course in South Florida has gone to completely Bermuda, from wall to wall, I mean, it escalates the cost. And so in the hopes of trying to reduce the cost a little bit, and then also to get the contrast of grasses, why, that's why I went to the St. Augustine grass at the Dye Preserve.
Pete, when you're approached about designing a golf course in Florida, particularly in this part of the state, which is relatively flat, and you have kind of a blank slate to deal with here where, you know, you're going to create a lot of the traps and water and that type of stuff, as opposed to a course in the north or somewhere like in Michigan, things like that, where you have to deal with the topography. Are you more excited to deal with kind of a blank slate, or do you enjoy working with topography when you're designing a golf course?
Well, you know, I always wish somebody would call me and say, here's the ocean and all the sand dunes, and just go out there and build a golf course on top of the sand dunes. You don't have to do much, just kind of kick it around a little bit. But I get a bigger kick, thrill out of trying to build a golf course that, say, for example, like the one in Jacksonville with the Tournament Players Club, the lake on 18 is 6 feet below sea level, and you make a golf course, and it gets a little notoriety, and you really created that golf course. You had to dig it out and make it drain and make it work, and yet it still comes up. People talk about it being a golf course, and you get a more of a thrill out of building a golf course you have to work on to make it a golf course. I know everybody will say, well, you moved a lot of dirt or did this or did that, but you have to, because a lot of the times you've got a swamp or you've got a landfill or you got this. It's not a golf course when you start, so you have to make it. I remember Tom Watson said to me one time, he said, your golf course is artificial. And I said, it certainly is.
Pete, you mentioned TPC Sawgrass. Obviously, there's a tournament there every single year, Players Championship. Now it's in May as of this year, changed from being in March. Every single year for the LPGA Championship, they hold it at Bully Rock right there in the Mid-Atlantic area, region of the country. Do you tune in? Do you watch it on TV whenever there's a tournament going on at one of your courses? Or are you there in person as well sometimes?
Well, I don't get there in person all the time, but I certainly watch it and listen to the comments on what's going on. But I'd rather watch it because you see a lot more of it, you know. And then I don't have to stand around and listen to somebody yell at me what all the things I've done wrong, too. So.
Well, speaking of events, there's been an amazing amount of premier events on your courses. I'm reading in this new book, as I mentioned, the Pete Dye Golf Courses, 50 Years of Design, 11 USGA Amateur Championships between men's, women's, and seniors. You've had 3 PGA Championships, 88, 91, and 2004, 04 Whistling Straits, 91 Crooked Stick, 2 World Cups, a Ryder Cup, a Curtis Cup, a Solheim Cup as well. Any of those premier events really stand out in your mind and you have fond memories of that are specific?
Well, I always remember the first one. The first major was, of course, at Oaktree, and Jeff Sluman won it.
In 88,
Paul
right.
Azenzer, yeah. So you always remember the first one at majors you ever had on one of your golf courses. And I'm thrilled to know that they're going to, I think there's a major, the Ocean Course is going to have the PGA Championship, so it'll be fun to watch in a couple more years. And then, of course, there's another PGA major that's going to be at Whistling Straits. It's fun to watch. Either I kind of hide behind everything when I'm there to watch it, but I watch it mostly on television because you see so much more of it.
Pete, with the equipment today, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, with the equipment today, the ball flying further, you know, irons and woods, metal woods really made to make the ball go straighter. Do you factor today's equipment into your current designs? In other words, do you sort of look at a hole and say, well, I can't really have a 400-yard par four anymore, you know, because these guys will eat that up, so I need to have a 470-yard hole. Do you factor those types of things in your designs today?
Well, yeah. You, when you're building a golf course like it, at the French Lick, it's going to be a resort golf course, and they already have the club professional championships are coming in, and hopefully going to have a major there someday. So you know that the best is going to be there. Now, those young men, the game has completely changed for them. Even with the new equipment, they're hitting it farther, they're hitting it straighter, they're doing a lot of things with the new equipment. You still have to build a golf course because the new equipment hasn't taken the guy that hits it 180 to 220 yards. It hasn't changed his game that much, 4 or 5% or 3%. But where the new balls and clubs, a guy like Jack Nicklaus, if he was a younger man today playing with those clubs, he'd had 30, 40 yards to his drive. Where the fellow that hit the ball 220, maybe hitting a 225. So he has still had the same game. So you got to make the golf course almost the same as it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The only major difference is the way they maintain it. And that's where you have to change all your thinking, is because of the drainage and how they're going to cut it and what's going to be the cost of cutting it. There's a big change. It's not so much the equipment it is the way they maintain it. For these young boys, the way they hit it today, I don't know how much farther they're going to let them hit it, because I know at French Lick somebody said, you had the golf course over 8,000 yards. I said, I kind of do, but it's probably got tees back there nobody will ever play. But and they can go back farther, but the white markers and the where you think the bigger part of play is going to be, it's between 62 and 6,400 yards.
Right.
Same as it's been for last 50 years.
But, you know, Pete, at Harbortown, the Heritage, which is played there every single year, they still play that course at less than 7,000 yards. So there's got to be something about that design that even though it's not getting above 7,000 yards, it's still short by PGA Tour standards. They're still not scoring at 20 and 25 under par for the week.
Well, you know, one thing the golf pros can't do, they can't hit through trees. Now, so the pine trees that there at Harbortown and the beautiful live oak trees, they kept growing and growing, and it made it a little narrower and more narrow. So the tree line, you know, that golf course, it makes it tough for those pros to do anything, because what happens there, an ardent golfer, say a guy shoots 90 and he's all over the golf course.
That's me.
That's right. Then they hit those trees, and it comes down, and then it's got pine straw, and you can find it, and you can pop it back into the fairway. Or it hits the trees, and you're lucky, and it comes kicks back in the fairway. Now, the pros, when they play that and they hit those trees, it doesn't necessarily all the time kick back in the fairway. It can kick farther into the rough. They can find it. They can find it on. They can play it, but they lose a shot. So the trees there are definitely the main hazard, and the trees have grown since the golf course was built. And you know, nobody up at Sea Pines or Harbortown will let you take one down, so it's gotten tighter all every year. So that's to maintain the stroke average out there.
Legendary golf course architect Pete Dye joining us here on the show. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Pete has designed well over 150 golf courses around the world. Casa de Campo, Black Wolf Run, Bully Rock, Old Marsh, Dye Preserve, Dye Course at PGA Village, a bunch of courses down here in South Florida, Delray Dunes down in Boynton Beach. Pete, again, referring to this new book that's out, the Pete Dye Golf Courses, 50 Years of Design. There's some really great tributes in there from some huge names in the world of golf. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Greg Norman. In reference to Jack Nicklaus's piece, he wrote a couple of paragraphs tributing you, and he said, quote, "Were it not for Pete Dye, Jack Nicklaus, the golf course designer, might never have existed," end quote. What do you think about that statement?
It was awful nice of him to say it. That's all I can tell you. Jack always tells everybody that I got him into the golf business as far as a player. And I had a laugh because he beat me in the Trans-Mississippi, and then when he was doing that, that gave him an invite to the Masters.
That was in 1957, right?
I don't know what year, it was a long time ago, but he forgets to tell him that I beat him in the U.S. Open at Inverness in 19, whatever year it was. I finished ahead of him, let's put it that way.
At the U.S. Open at Inverness, you did.
Yeah.
So you
he
got
forgets
him.
That. And then another thing, we played in an exhibition and he with Sam Snead, and he keeps talking about how he watched Sam Snead with that timing and everything and how great it was. And I said, well, you played with me too. He said, I didn't watch that quick hooker yours off the tee.
Pete, you know, you talk about Jack Nicklaus, who's obviously become a very prolific golf designer. Are there any other current designers that you really admire?
Well, you know, really, I admire a lot of them, like Ben Crenshaw. See, a lot the team that works for Ben Crenshaw, Billy Corr worked for me, and then Muirhead does a lot of work with me for a long time, digging dirt. Has worked with Reese Jones and Greg Norman has Jason McCoy who was 10 years and then Jack had Lee Smith who was a wonderful fellow, started working with me for 8 or 10 years and so all those guys they've had some of the people I've been out when we build a golf course you got a lot more people working and they've all helped me build a golf course so I admire the changes those people have done and of course my two boys are still digging out there. They're doing okay.
Yeah, Perry and PB, as well as some of your nieces and nephews, Andy and Cynthia and Matt.
Yeah.
You know, Pete, you got to be real proud about that legacy.
Well, they're all independent, and they're all out there fighting the world. They're doing okay, and they've got some work going here and there all around different parts of this world. It's amazing how golf has grown so much in the Far East and in the Caribbean and in Latin America. It's great to see that happening because I think it'll bring the world together.
Pete, how tough has the economy been on the golf course design business for you and your family?
The boys seem to be doing pretty good. They got more work overseas, and I have never had much of an. I don't have any staff, so I'm so far behind. I don't far behind and over budget. How's that?
Joined on the line by legendary golf course architect Pete Dye, designed well over 150 courses around the world, and tomorrow he will be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in St. Augustine, Florida, only the fifth golf course architect ever enshrined, joining Donald Ross, Alistair McKenzie, Robert Trent Jones, and C.B. McDonald. Pete, just a couple of quick questions before we let you go. First of all, I read that you're designing a course in Dubai right now with Sergio Garcia. What's that like?
It's a long ways off. I'd start out with Greg doing, you know, and then Greg's people, I told you, a lot of the work I've worked with. So I got it worked out jointly on the whole thing over there. So it's a sand dunes, and it's put on hold right now, but they'll get it going someday.
Is Sergio a part of that project as well? Because, you know, it's kind of a cool little connection there because he's the most recent winner on your course at Sawgrass.
Yeah, I know. Sergio's a nice fellow. Yes, he's part of it, and he's and so is Greg. So I got more people working over there. You know what to do with.
Pete, speaking of Dubai, I think Tiger Woods is designing his first golf course over there. Do you have any advice for a guy like Tiger Woods who's getting into a different aspect of golf in the design area? Do you have any advice for him?
Well, no. I think Tiger's put together a group of young people to work with him to do that. I'm sure they'll do a good job, and he'll have a lot of fun playing around with it. But he'll do a good job with that.
What do you think about Tiger as you watch him as a player? You know, speaking of your courses, he won his very first U.S. Amateur back in 1994 on your Sawgrass course up there in Ponte Vedra.
Tiger and I have been good friends. Talked to him the other day, and he's doing fine. He's as busy as anybody I've ever been around, though.
Yeah, he is a busy guy. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and most of it right now is not even playing because of the knee surgery. Mm-hmm. Pete, last question for you. You know, you've accomplished so much in the world of golf and golf course architecture. 50-year career that's continuing to go now that you're 83 years old. Is there anything that you have not yet accomplished in the golf world that you still want to do?
I'm sure there's a lot of things I haven't accomplished, but I'm not going to sit down and figure out which one they are, though, that's for sure. But I've really been lucky, and I love building the golf course because I love working with the young people that do the work out there. They're all graduates from the different ag schools, and they got great backgrounds. And that's been the most fun, working with those young people. It's been a lot of fun. And I just hope I can keep digging for a little bit longer.
Yeah. It's been a great career already, and it continues to march on. Oak Tree, Harbor Town, Crooked Stick, Kiowa Ocean Course, TPC Sawgrass, Black Wolf Run, Whistling Straits, Teeth of the Dog, Bully Rock, Old Marsh, Dye Preserve, the Dye Course at PGA Village. The list goes on. Over 150 around the world, world-class facilities. And tomorrow, you're going to be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame up there in St. Augustine. Legendary golf course architect Pete Dye. Pete, thank you so much. Congratulations to you.
All right, you're great to call. Appreciate it.